Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Luke Russert, average person.
I was out on the street. I was screaming at the TV that had no sign. I was there with all my boys. We're going back down tonight.
Because you could come here. We're open for business here.
There's no rioting out here.
No, I don't want rioting.
We want rioting.
Now with less rioting.
We're going to burn down the portrait gallery tonight, baby. Just the
that would be so
just
wonderful.
Just the way the Canadians burned down the White House in 1812.
What is that?
What do you mean, what is it?
What?
It's called history, Tony.
The Canadians?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter. We are at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. We are for-profit. We are full-service. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board and do the news. For those of you sitting in the audience, applaud yourselves. The Socialite is here to say hello.
Yes. Socialite in the house.
Huge. And walk among you.
Huge.
Marcus, our intern, who has never said a word in the first week of his internship, is here. And our second intern, Marley, who will not say a word in his 3 days of internship, is here
so
as well.
So much to do, wow. It takes two.
Yeah, they're just eating biscuits made by my daughter today. Speaking of which, Trivia Night is tomorrow night. We kick off Trivia Night with an entirely different orientation towards trivia. Not 2.5 hours, an hour and a half. Questions generated by the people doing the trivia. That's tomorrow night. Sunday is the Crab Feast.
I have a trivia question for you.
Go ahead.
What is the motto of Faber College?
Knowledge is good.
Yes, well done.
Paul Burkholz with Alex Zina and Susan from Sheridan, Wyoming. If you're reading this note, the red line didn't catch on fire this morning. We've made it to Chatter. We know
well done.
Because they came in here. The Metro was the last leg of our trek from Wyoming for our family of littles. Wow. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage is in D.C. to advocate for our congressional delegation on behalf of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is in the news a lot lately with Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
While she's doing her thing, we're seeing the sights, including a visit to this for-profit restaurant. For our littlest little, a visit to Chatter was to watch the podcast Sausage Be Made was her number one request for the trip. So they also brought us something for Bootsy, which Bootsy would eat. Right, Michael? A furry animal?
A planet.
Yeah, Bootsy would eat it. Uranus. And you can't have that.
World eater.
Yeah,
Bootsy.
So we can't have that. All right, let's get to sports.
A lot happened since you were here
this
last.
This is the biggest.
Way to take Friday off.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Was that a big sports day?
It's a mistake.
Not a
mistake.
I should have been here to shame you into doing it.
Sort of a mistake. But I was following the wishes of my son who said, you have a schedule. Old man, stick to the
Don't
schedule.
Don't throw this on me.
He does that,
old
doesn't
man,
he?
Old man, stick to the schedule.
Old man, stick to the schedule.
Old man, look at yourself.
I'm a lot like you. three enormous things. The ending of the NHL season with the Stanley Cup, the ending of the NBA season with one of the worst finals of all time, a sweep in which after J.R. Smith did what he did, you had no confidence that Cleveland would make a run at all, and the Triple Crown for the second time in 4 years, a Triple Crown race. So we'll start with the NHL, and the reason we'll start with that is because Gary was the official correspondent of the Tony Kornheiser podcast. Indeed. And went to, but this is the most, I'll just preface this by saying, Michael and I believe that the Socialite is everywhere and that he is everywhere at all times, that the incarnation that we see of him now in this room is only one of millions of incarnations that are around the world. Right. And the proof of this for
Hologram.
Us, we went to the President's Cup 8-10 years ago. How long ago
did
the President's Cup?
Longer. Than this is Tiger's tournament 2 summers ago.
Oh, is that when it was?
Yes.
When we ran it. So we're driving out there on a whim, and who do we run into in the parking lot?
Socialite.
The Socialite.
Yeah.
Picking up dust.
It was just so weird.
So Michael Michael texts me. You know, Socialite and Nathan are going to be out there,
right.
And I texted something.
In a city of over a million people, over 2 million people, probably at any given time, Las Vegas,
and
Nevada.
And I texted to Michael something to the effect of, and he will verify this, God, I hope I don't see them, because I am going to be with some degenerate drunken people.
Right.
And, of course, I run into Alan and Nathan on the way into the T-Mobile Arena.
What was it like to be there as a native Washingtonian to see this thing?
Well, as I told the season ticket holder.
By the way, what did it cost you?
$7.50 a ticket.
That's not bad.
We got
that's not bad for the final game. That's not bad.
What was the service fee?
No, I got them from season ticket holders. That was all it cost for lower bowl seats.
Good seats for you.
Yeah, waited it out and made out all right. Look, I'm not one of those guys who's going to talk about my wedding day or the birth of my children, because obviously those events can't even compare to this.
Of course not.
honestly, Tony, I I've been a Caps fan only since 1974.
Since the beginning.
And... am I a fanatic? No, but I make the jokes, the choking dogs, the what's red, white, and blue, and plays golf in May, the Washington Capitol. Yeah, for years and years, these were jokes, and you play along with them. What I did not realize, honestly, is the magnitude, the emotional weight of all the emotional investment of all of those years. And to be in that building when that happened, in that moment when they raised the cup, when you see Ovi roar and raise it over his head, and I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Which is the last sober moment Alexander Ovechkin has had.
Every blown 2-0 lead, 3-1 blown lead, the Pat LaFontaine goal, every loss to the Penguins, every Game 7 choke, it all comes back. And in that moment, like in that instant, all that pent up frustration, all that pain that I had long forgotten about. I mean, it just came out of me, and I am embarrassed to admit to you, I cried.
That's fine.
I stood there and I watched it, and I was crying.
That's great.
And Alan, I'm sure can attest to this. Anyone who's there can attest to this. There was a lot of embracing of strangers. Most of them were grown men wearing red.
A lot of Capitals fans.
There were a lot of tears.
Let's go Caps chants
and,
you could hear on
you know,
TV.
If you saw that emotion in Ovi's face, and I've seen it every time since, he's still raising the cup over his head and still pouring emotion. My friends and I were talking about it afterwards, and we said, you see people celebrate championships all the time, and you never think to yourself, I know how he feels. But... Sands, I'm sure, would agree with me. Sands is probably like, I know how they feel. I mean, it was just, I was completely blindsided by how emotional it was.
So you and Nathan and Alan, it is possible, and it's very possible, that that's the only one they're going to have for a very long time. It's very possible. And you would have been there for the winning game.
Well, it's why I went. Now, I'll tell you, if they lost 5-2, I would have been like, you know, I'm glad I went, but that was a lot of money.
No.
But as it was, and this is sort of a hackneyed expression, but it was the best money I have ever spent. Now, I spent the rest of that night drinking and waiting to get the notification on my phone that somehow the league office had decided something went wrong and they had to replay
the last goal away.
I mean, I'm telling you, we were waiting for the other shoe to drop. But
very interesting series in this regard. No one, nothing games. No. I mean, no dominant goalie. If there's no dominant goalie, hockey is great to watch.
Yep. Exciting games, though. Yes. I mean, even there was the 1-6-2 game, but all very exciting series for a series that was 4-1. That but for a non-call on that Reeves cross-check is a 5-0 sweep, frankly. Mm. And to do it on the road was really cool because you had this brotherhood amongst all the Capitol fans, anyone wearing red.
Very
I mean,
good.
You were just fist bumping. Hey, that actually happened. That happened. And we were staying at the MGM Grand, where Ovi came parading through with the cup in the wee hours of the night. A couple of my friends who were still up gambling saw him and got video of it. I was long asleep, unfortunately.
So how did you get home? Because Alan and Nathan took the team charter.
I walked.
Yeah, they took the team charter.
Oh, they did?
I flew home.
By the way,
next
day, Channel 4, God bless Wendy Rieger. I love Wendy Rieger beyond all comprehension. Wendy is out there with some kid, I don't know, Adam somebody or
some
the other
punk.
Guy, Charlie, I don't know their names, David somebody or other. And Wendy says, I know this is supposed to be news, but I'm so excited. And Wendy was, screaming and yelling, there's the plane, Wendy hit
the plane.
Wendy hit all the right notes. Now, somebody told me that Wendy went on television.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. I've seen it. It's so weird.
What happened?
It is weird.
Wait, what?
She attempted to reverse the curse.
Well, yeah. She's like, so what are you doing? I think she said, well, I've got this great red lipstick on. I think she was wearing a red dress. And she said,
well, she's always wearing red.
And then
that's her deal.
She pulled a picture
I
of
wonder,
you.
I was so disappointed when she wasn't in here for the Channel 4 party because I would have put her right to work behind the bar.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But she pulled out a picture of you, and she said, "I've been kissing this picture of Tony Kornheiser every hour on the hour."
She kissed it in like reverse clockwise fashion.
Wow,
so strange.
How did I not see that?
She hit all the right notes. You know, she was great.
I want to point out two more things. One, aside from the socialite and Nathan Bubis, we also saw Raider owner Mark Davis. Uh-huh. Got a picture with him, much weirder looking in person.
How is that even
super
possible?
Hot girl on his arm.
Fantastic haircut.
How does his hair look?
Oh, exactly Flo-by. The same. It's crazy. I'll show you a picture of Ray.
Prince Valiant's older.
We talked about how that town knows hospitality. Yeah. The fans were great. They were so gracious. They were congratulating us, except for the one guy in the airport on the way out Friday morning who said, "I can't believe you guys took our cup. We've been waiting 8 months for that."
Yeah, that's right. Well, that was the other thing, too. When you see the people downtown, you see some 17-year-old punk says, "I've waited my whole life for this." And yet you can't get a snow shovel in your hand fast enough to whack that kid in the head. Shut up.
So true.
You know, play Keenan.
Other things that happened. The NBA is over. That was euthanasia. That was ridiculous.
It's a fascinating series.
I mean, the Warriors, there's so
many
storylines. There's so much. Well, Wilbon will go on and on about it, but it was garbage. It was actually garbage. And then you find out that LeBron, undoubtedly, because he wanted to hit J.R. Smith in the face, 100%. Hit a blackboard instead and broke his hand after game one, ensuring they had no chance, none whatsoever, to win. When then you find that out after the fact, and everybody in the city writes how valiant LeBron James is. Stop. They're 30 points better. Than Cleveland is.
Well, it's
only 30 points better.
It's only mildly less stupid than what J.R. Smith did.
Oh, J.R. Smith ruined.
They
weren't going to win, but
no,
they could have won
a game.
They would have won a game.
They could have won two.
Yep.
With
one at home.
So that
was so boring. I didn't watch the last game because you knew what was happening.
Well, the juxtaposition.
And now people are angry. They're saying that in the league. Well, I'll ask Mike about this. In the league offices, they're saying that we can't have teams like the Warriors. Hey, they played within the rules.
Yep.
They drafted three of those guys, and then they signed a fourth guy.
By the way, they almost lost to Houston. It's not like they ran away. Yeah. They ran away with the final series.
If you can't have teams like that, what's LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade?
I mean,
it's the same exact concept.
Warriors, they're a very deserving group of people, it seems to me.
The difference between that celebration and the one the previous night was hysterical. I mean, I get it. I totally get it.
Well, but part of that is, I mean, you're much more emotional. Invested in the one in Washington.
Of course.
And those people,
I mean, amongst the players themselves.
Yeah, because they knew.
This was fun. Right. We should do this again next year. Cool.
Because they knew, but it's the fourth time. What did I say on TV the day before? I said, you know, how terrible Godfather 3 was, that they didn't even make a Godfather 4. I said, this is Godfather 4.
Right.
That's how terrible that series was.
Just not.
And a Triple Crown. And that horse is great. Justify, like Secretariat, a big red horse. Went to the lead for the third straight race, held the lead. I was here in Chatter watching that race, and I don't do this. I mean, with about, I don't know.
Did the Belmont flag out?
No, when they passed about a mile and a quarter, and I was going, yeah, go, win this race.
What a shot.
Yeah, win this race. I'm very happy for the horse.
What a shot.
Very happy for Baffert. My friend David Israel is very close friends with Bob Baffert, and so I was happy with that. I like that. That probably got... That had tens of millions of people watching.
Have you seen the conspiracy theory, though, tied to it?
No.
So Baffert had another horse.
In the race.
Yes.
Which happens all the time.
A long shot that the horse went to the front, despite the fact that it is allegedly a fast finisher. It went to the front early, and they say
teammate strategy.
Bodyguard.
Yeah, said it ran as a blocker.
Blocker.
You know what?
And they've asked the New York Racing Association to look into it, which they're not going to do.
Right. Nothing is going to happen. It's a mile and a half race, and the horse won.
Did you see, by the way, they said if Secretary would have finished 25 lengths ahead of Justify.
Because Secretary is the greatest horse of all time. Right.
But as great as Justify.
This is very nice. Yes. And a lot of people watched, you know, I was happy for the horse. But not that the horse cares. I mean, the horse is not.
It's good to understand some.
The horse
level.
Is not cognizant of this.
Gets a carrot.
What was great about that is Mike Smith, who's 53, who's really old for a jockey. Mike Smith didn't go to the whip till about a 16th left. I mean, he that horse was winning. That horse in hand, I think, is the term of art.
Yes.
So we'll get out of here.
Wait, Tone, can I just read one tweet about Justify?
Sure.
This is from Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Familiar with him?
No.
Big cowboy hat. very prominent Donald Trump supporter. Donald Trump should invite Justify to the White House lawn for winning the Triple Crown. Justify is a winner like Trump who could care less about leftist identity politics.
You know what? Most horses
can't. It's a horse. So.
Yes. Most horses are not involved in the culture wars in America. Most horses are happy to eat and lay down at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Michael Wilbon, when we return. Yes, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Framebridge ad. I've got this. This is good. I'm going to read the copy for a while till I get bored. If you previously listened to the show, you've heard me talk about Framebridge. They make it super easy and affordable to custom frame your favorite things, from art prints and posters to the photos on your phone. Here's how it works. You just go to framebridge.com. You upload, I don't know how to do this, your photo from your computer or directly from your Instagram, which I don't have feed for them to print. Or if you have a physical item like a ticket stub, an art print, a poster, you name it, they'll provide secure prepaid packaging so you can mail it in for free. You preview your item online in any frame style. You choose your favorite to get free recommendations from their talented designers. The expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item in days, not weeks or months, and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. The best part, instead of the hundreds you'd pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39 and all shipping is free. Plus, my listeners will get 15% off their first order at Framebridge.com when they use my code TONYK. Framebridge has thousands of five-star reviews and even offers a happiness guarantee. If for any reason you aren't 100% satisfied with your order, they'll make it right. They found a photo of Michael and me at the Masters, and yes, they framed it for
the
us, and it's great, and it's up on the wall. So I'm very happy.
I've used it as well, by the way.
I'm very happy.
I used it for Mother's Day for my wife. It's great.
So I'm going to endorse Framebridge. Get started framing your photos or art today. Go to framebridge.com. Use the promo code TonyK. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to Framebridge, FrameBridge.com. Promo code TonyK. Framebridge.com. Promo code TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Scissor Man. This is sent to us by Scott Cranfield in Rochester, New York. We played their song Raise Your Glass a little while ago, and he'll be at the show Tuesday, he says. Though I retired from performing with the band last year, I'm still a member of the front office. Since they're taking a bit of a breather to focus on writing new material and have nothing new to promote, I decided to reach back into their catalog. Scissor Man is a song considered so angry that we stopped playing it live. Very appropriate if we're now looking at a Game 7 potential choking dog situation. But
no, we're not.
They're not. So yes, we sent us
the band is actually Violet Mary.
Violet Mary is
the
band.
Yeah, the song Scissor Man.
Michael Wilbon joins us now. We have so much happened over the course of the weekend as we began the show with the NHL, the NBA, and the Triple Crown. And we'll take them in the same order here. I assume you got to watch from Cleveland the Caps. What are your thoughts? And I know why you picked against them to begin with. I mean, I know the history, and any sane person would have felt the same way. But what are your thoughts watching them? You've watched this with the Blackhawks, and they didn't wait nearly as long, I don't think, although God knows the Cubs waited longer. What are your thoughts on the Caps?
Only one thought, Tony. I'm glad for the people who followed the Caps. I'm glad for the you know, it was so weird that George McPhee was involved in this in the way he was involved with the other team.
Yeah.
But there's only one feeling. I mean, I've sat and watched, covered a lot of those games, the games that were just excruciating for people who followed the franchise. I ran into Bernie Wolf yesterday.
Original Cap goalie. Original
That's right.
First goalie. Yeah.
And I just said, congratulations. I mean, how great is this? For you guys, for everybody who's been associated with it, I mean, for people who just suffered for a long time with, and for the Capitals, it really was, Tony, because of the way they lost and to whom they lost for so many years. I'm happy for them. I'm thrilled for them. Thrilled for people who have been following, and I mean really following. Like, I'm happy for people, period, in any area where they haven't won, like Cleveland. I mean, I've spent so much time in Cleveland over the last, particularly, I mean, since the drive and all that stuff, it's 30 years going and covering those things. And certain cities, they do have suffering. I'm not talking about Philadelphia. I'm talking about they try to insert themselves as long-suffering. It's like, shut up. But Caps fans, the people who really followed the franchise and paid money to go, I don't mean just the Rock the Red era, but people who've been following the franchise since the beginning and certainly the last 20 years, good for them. I'm thrilled for them.
So Gary is here, and Gary talked about going almost on a whim to Game 5 and being in Las Vegas and being in the arena where there were many, many more red jerseys than I think people probably expected to see. You were there, right? You were there when the Cubs won. You went to that game.
I was in Cleveland in that stadium. Yes, I was.
What is that like? What is that like?
Well, Tony, at the end of it, when they won, and then, you know, out of the 45,000 people that stadium probably holds, 25,000 of them were wearing the same colors you were. It's just as thrilling.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy it that night because the Cubs, as you know, that game is famous now. They nearly blew that game, too. I couldn't enjoy it that night. I had to wait. It took me like 48 hours to the parade, the rally, whatever they called it in Chicago 2 days later. But the Capitals, that game was thrilling. The Capitals win over Vegas was such a great game to come from behind like that on the road. I did watch all of that game. Matthew and I were holed up in our hotel in Cleveland, and we watched. He had been to game 3, I think it was.
Yeah. Michael, you went to 3, right?
Yes.
Michael went to game 3, yeah.
Yeah, so you had to watch your team win like that. And it was closer. Now, it wasn't on the road for me, even though the Blackhawks did win 2 of their 3 on the road at Boston, at Philly. I was there 3 years ago, and they beat the Lightning, and it just seeing the team you follow skate with the cup, I mean, it's...
This needs to be said.
That's a great, great, great thing.
There are 4 major championships. Please, Washington Post, stop telling me about the soccer. Stop. There are 4 major championships in the United States of America in professional sports. And by far, the act of skating around with the cup...
Yeah.
It's not even close. I don't understand why all sports don't give you the trophy and let you take it somewhere for a day or a week or whatever. Because even if you're not a hockey fan, when you see this, the meaning of it is so much greater.
Well, Tony. So late last night, Cheryl said to me, and 20 years ago. You know, we've been married months, and I got her tickets to the Red Wings and Capitals.
Yeah.
And of course, they didn't win. So I got her tickets to those, I think those 2 games, 2 home games. They were certainly not hard to get back then. And she, you know, that became, you know, like a lot, like, I don't know, an increasing number of people. She'd grown up a Redskins fan, and a Redskins fan pretty much only. But she gradually transferred, like, I don't know, 90% of her energy to the Capitals.
Really?
Oh, 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Her Mother's Day present was a Backstrom jersey.
Okay.
She didn't have a jersey. I said, look, if you're going to go to any of these games, I don't want to care about the sweater you get at Dick's that's made for women. I don't care about that. You put a jersey on and you go to the games. Or don't go.
Yeah.
Matthew was with me. He said, don't get her Ovechkin. Backstrom. Get her. Okay, fine. Backstrom. But she asked me last night, she said, why is it that the Stanley Cup is presented to the players, but the NBA and pro football, I don't know what baseball does, they're handed to the owner.
That's all. They're all to the owner.
I said, I don't know why that is, except for so many of the NHL's customs are Canadian, and they predate the NHL. Like the congratulatory handshake in the line.
Yes.
That predates the NHL. That is not an NHL custom. That is a Canadian hockey custom. So I don't know why that is done that way. I don't know why the others don't do that. Maybe they don't want to copy the NHL. I mean, people try to develop their own thing.
There's just no joy in, and I'm not saying there's no joy in other sports. There's no joy in other sports like this joy. You see it when Ovechkin, what are your thoughts on Ovechkin now? This is enormous for him because he was at the center of this.
Oh, sure, he was the best player.
Yes,
I mean, he was.
This is not a gift for him. No, he did this.
This is what you know. This is what the great peers of his.
Yes,
and you know the great players. Look, the greatest players. I'm not going to try to get revisions here. The greatest players in that sport have done this multiple times.
Yes, they have.
Like, people are the prisoners of the moment. I'm like, just be happy for Ovechkin now. Don't try to compare him to Jean Beliveau and Henri Richard, who did it like Bill Russell, like double-digit times.
Yeah.
Or even Gretzky.
Gretzky. It's not Crosby. It's not.
Stop it. Just be happy for him now.
That's right.
He won this thing. He was the best player on the best team. That's the significance. Stop trying to stretch it. You know, and so I'm happy for him. I don't know Alex Ovechkin at all. I've been in this company a few times. I've been in front of his locker when I was, I guess, the beginning of his career. I was still covering a little bit of writing some columns for the Post about the Capitals. And I'm thrilled for him.
He will not spend a sober moment for the next month.
Well, good for him.
He might die of cirrhosis when he goes back to Russia.
Just
he owned it. He, good for him. He owns this moment, and he earned it.
All right, so let me go to the NBA where it was not nearly as exciting and where you find out afterwards. I assume you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to assume that LeBron James wanted to hit J.R. Smith in the head, but instead hit a blackboard. And, the J.R. Smith moment is the determinant. The Cleveland wasn't going to win, but it would have been better. What are your thoughts on the way the Warriors won?
It was even more dominant than I expected. I told you I thought that the Cleveland could get a game.
Yeah.
Or in a wild circumstance, a second game.
Yeah.
And they got game one, except, oops, they didn't actually walk off the court with the win.
That's right.
And what LeBron knew, Tony, and what he said to some extent, and then what we know he felt and what he actually said to people in private, was that he knew they had to win game one. He knew that they had to put, he sort of stunned the champ. It is literally like a prize fight. You hit this guy and you stun him, and you know they're better and they're bigger and they're stronger, but you stun them. You knock them back. And then your guys feel better about themselves. You can really lead them into battle then. The other guy's going, wait a minute, this guy hit me. And you don't know if you can tip the balance, but now you've got to fight. And the J.R. Smith play and the reversal of the block charge involving Durant and LeBron, it halted the series. It didn't alter the series. It prevented the series from breaking out.
That's right. That's 100% right.
LeBron knew this in real time.
Yeah.
He knew it when he held out both hands and said to J.R., what are you doing?
Yes.
And he knew in the locker room when he wanted to just express some anger and blow off some steam, and then he knew what he'd done.
And that was, who was it, Drew Storen, right? Didn't Drew Storen do this after blowing a save in the playoffs?
His, yeah. Broke his hand.
And smashed his hand, and that was it. And the J.R. Smith moment, it's 100% determinant. Let me tell you what we talked about on Thursday, what we did not put in the show. And I want to get your feelings on this. There was reason to believe that in the inner recesses of the NBA offices, the executive offices, the story was that while no one will say this publicly, there is a feeling that the Warriors, that the league cannot have teams like this again that are built in this way. My feeling is they drafted three of the four guys, none of which were even in the top three or four, and they added a free agent. What's wrong with that? But I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't know where that story came from. I think that story would be insane. They may want a harder cap, Tony, because owners and the people who represent owners, therefore commissioners, always want that. But that has nothing to do with whether or not this notion that the Warriors are not good for the league. This is stupid. And anybody who says it and actually believes it is a moron.
That's what I think.
Because internationally, and this is you know, the audiences that pro basketball and international soccer serve are global audiences. Baseball is increasingly global, and it's in parts of the world, and pro football is in no part of the world.
Hockey is certainly
here.
Hockey is in the colder regions.
But Tony, their appeal, yes, the NHL, their appeal is to people all over the world, and the people love the Warriors all over
Great
the world.
Great fun to watch.
They love them.
You should.
And so anybody who doesn't understand it needs to shut up and get on a plane and get out of, like, Cleveland or wherever they're holed up in the United States or Oklahoma City or whatever. And so there's two separate issues here. There's fixed costs and what they'd like to do, any sport. The question, people are going to pay much more attention around here to hockey, which is great. But what they're going to find out is that the teams don't repeat anymore in the NHL because the salary structure prevents it.
Yes, yes.
And they're going to be angry here. And they're going to say, wait a minute, we had to give up this guy?
Yeah.
How can we repeat without this guy? Well, ask the Los Angeles Kings and the Boston Bruins and the Chicago Blackhawks and the Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay didn't actually win recently, but in his last 10-year run. There's no back-to-backs. There can't look like
Pittsburgh. One, Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Pittsburgh did, okay.
Yeah.
And even Pittsburgh, look at what they've had to give up. Look at the people who are elsewhere. Well, so you, if the NBA wants that, that's how you create a false, sort of evenness, a false parity in your product. But basketball and hockey were meant to be like they are, with teams having runs of multiple years. Stop trying to make everything football.
Love to watch. Love to watch the Warriors.
And I do. So I love it. And people are idiots who...
Yeah.
You know, it's like the other question with some analytics moron put out there who should be literally thrown out of the country. You know, does LeBron make his teammates better? You're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
If you pose the question, you're an idiot. If you answer it negatively, you're too stupid to even be employed.
By the way, Tone, there's going to be, I mean, depending on where LeBron goes,
right,
you're going to have another super team.
So on this is the last question, and I'll see you later. On June 11th, with no particular knowledge on your part,
mm-hmm,
where do you think LeBron will open the season next year?
God. I mean, you know what? This is the place to do this. Suppose, given that there's no perfect place out there, that in Philadelphia you turn, you know, Ben Simmons into a voyeur if LeBron goes there.
Yeah.
He's not going to go to Houston. And suppose the Lakers are not exactly the city, doesn't think they can challenge Golden State in the next 2 years. He'd be wasting some time there. So suppose we strike out those teams. He doesn't want to do a Dan Gilbert anymore. He doesn't think that Cleveland could be close to anything because Boston and Philly have eclipsed them. Okay, so suppose suppose given LeBron's outspokenness, his engagement, his involvement, his level of disengagement with what is going on nationally, culturally. Suppose he decides that the place he can do this best,
yes,
and join two max players.
Come on,
yes,
Will
Michael
Bond.
Say it.
We
it's
know what
happening.
You're going for.
Washington Wizards.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Come on.
Now, title
what
town.
About?
Title
whoa,
town.
Wait. Let me just throw a quick thing in here to Will Bond. We do have Otto Porter.
let me just say, if he does that, there's a chance that you could have Caps, Nats, Wizards all with the title at the same time.
Well, but you know who would quickly rise to the top, with all due respect to Alex Ovechkin? You know who would rise to the top in this battle?
The king?
Oh, yes.
The true king?
So,
not the man who would be king.
So do I think that this, you know, part of it's going to be, it's going to depend on how, you know, what are the owners and management here, what are they prepared to do? How out the box are they prepared to think and act? And are they going to do something that has never really been associated with the Washington basketball franchise under either owner? And we know that Ted is a creative man.
He's now had a taste of a championship.
He's had a taste because he knows. Ted has lured people to work for him and with him at the highest level of industry in this country. So what's he prepared to do? How out the box are they prepared to think? Because I think when you look out there, all of those situations are flawed. But if you could come and you can move everybody else off that roster, and you could make an appeal, you say, you know what? I'm with you, whether he's with them or not. I'm with you, and this is the place to do that. Everything that you've uttered since election night 2016, this is the place for you to do this. This is the place for you to use your voice, and it's a bigger platform even than L.A., in this context. Let's saddle up, big boy. Why don't you come here and play with Wall and Beal, and we'll figure the rest out.
That's interesting.
Do they have that? Does the organization have that in them?
This is good. This is very good. All right, I'll see you later.
Of course, that's going to light up every geek blog all day. Michael Wilbon says LeBron to Washington.
That's fine. I mean, the other thing that is tremendously interesting is if LeBron said, you know what I'd like to do? I think I'd like to play with Boston. I like their cast. And
Kyrie
said, oh, my God.
Kyrie has to get out again.
All right, we'll get out of here. When we come back, we'll do news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Father's Day is just around the corner, so I'll be doing this read, performing as Child.
Right.
Mm. For Father's Day, Sonos partnered with Spotify to bring you and Dad closer together through music. Now through June 17th, visit fathersday.sonos.com to create a personalized playlist and card to send to your dad on Father's Day. They'll both get a code for 15% off Sonos. So I did this. I created the playlist, and while it was easy, and it was actually pretty fun to go through and pick some music, it was incredibly stressful, and I think every kid out there knows what I'm talking about when you're trying to pick music for your dad.
Did you do this for me?
I did.
Do I have it?
You do not have it yet. It's okay. not Father's Day.
Oh, okay. It's rapidly approaching.
And I also, you have to give an email for the dad, and I didn't know what email to use, so I just used the mailbag for the show.
Right.
So one of my greater memories as a kid on these long drives would be when you would play the mixtapes that people sent in.
Yes.
And people's poured their hearts into these, and you'd give me a mini history lesson. If you can drive with my dad on an hour plus drive, it is old guy radio every song. And so the issue is they have you pick out one of your favorite artists and your birth year, and then they have you do the same for your father. And I like a lot of bad music. If I'm out driving, going for a run, I'll listen to pop country. I love going deep dives into 1980 musicals. I'm a big Colm Wilkinson fan. But I also like the oldies that you raised me on, Van, Beach Boys. Yeah. So I went the safe route because I was looking for an early summer playlist. So I chose Beach Boys and Righteous Brothers to create something. Because for us, we're normally listening to that music right before we grill, and it has that summer early vibe. So that was my stressful experience.
Well, it looks like you came through the other side.
Yeah, I think it was very healthy to share that in front of you and to get that off my chest.
Good.
So with that 15% off, I would recommend that you get the Sonos One. This is a bite-sized speaker that packs a big punch. So it is great to leave up on a kitchen counter, put in the living room. I like it because I can play music for my son, and we can hear it in a couple different rooms, and it's also Alexa-powered. So now here is the mandatory call to action. Go to fathersday.com or fathersday.sonos.com and get a code for 15% off at sonos.com when you create a personalized Spotify playlist you can send to dad. Simply select your favorite artists and the year you were born, then do the same for dad, and bam, Spotify will generate the perfect playlist to bridge the generation gap. Go to fathersday.sonos.com and get 15% off when you create your playlist.
That's wonderful.
The playlist generator expires June 17th, and terms and conditions apply.
That's great. I look forward to that. Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
All is fair in love and war. This is sent to us by Chris Ely, Dayton, Ohio. I've been a listener since the ESPN radio days. I remember you talking about Michael singing while in school. When my son Jacob joined a high school a cappella group, I could relate to your stories. Jacob graduated from Chaminade Julian Catholic High School last month, and his a cappella group, Vega, released their latest album, Breathe, on iTunes, Spotify, and CD Baby. Included is the song Run, 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 in which Jacob did the arrangement. I'll let Michael offer the critical commentary since I would struggle with my own version of I Have a Piano. Breathe is the second album recently released by Vega, the other being Recharged. I would offer Vega to be the official high school a cappella group for the Tony Kornheiser Show. Also send a lechizerie from me, loyal little Ken Ostendorf, whose niece Ashley was also in Vega this year. Thanks for the years of laughter and, of course, Edith Saliza.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Nigel, sure. You have news for us.
I do indeed. Chris, you were in an a cappella group. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was a barbershop quartet, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a barbershop quartet, actually. Yes. That's interesting. Yeah. There's a very famed a cappella group at Georgetown known as the Chimes, which I wanted to punch every guy in that face.
Why?
Just well, trust
just,
me.
Just okay. On principle.
They would sing at the tombs. They would drop a
mic. Like
they were everything that I was not.
Okay.
I say this as somebody in a high school group. The college ones, they just...
A beep, pop, psh, psh,
psh. Here comes trouble.
Acapella is the worst.
Okay.
Mr. Tony, we'll start you off.
There you go. Sorry, just setting it up for you there, Nigel.
Thank you.
So Chris tried out as a freshman and got cut.
So true.
Despite the rain we're getting in D.C. today, it appears it will clear up tomorrow in time for the parade. 100,000 people expected for this parade. And as I'm looking at the route, I see there must be some sort of mistake. This says it's only going to be on Constitution Avenue, but then how would they get
to Chatham?
Yeah, how would they get to Chatham? Hmm. Where I know that that's where they want to end up.
I have to tell you that
the after party.
I was getting all of these great responses from Sergei Kocharov, who's the PR guy for the Caps, and he sent us the all caps flag, which we are 4-0 with the all caps flag.
Well, he won the Stanley Cup championship. 4-0. You're welcome.
And then I asked for a couple of things, including, why don't you come to Chatter? Why don't you bring the cup? to bring a couple of players.
Those are some big asks.
And now he hasn't even responded to me. He hasn't even responded.
He thinks he's too big for you now that they're champs.
You know what I asked for? I asked for one thing, and I didn't ask for tickets.
That's right.
Specifically. I said, if you win, and then I said, after you did win, could you send us, and this is the one thing I want. I want a signed stick, a goalie stick by Braden Holtby, to mount on the wall in Shatter. Sure. Which I would tell people, and I'm saying this out loud, I would tell people, and I know it's not true, that was the stick he used to make the save.
Right. Yeah.
So and I would say that. And yeah. I said, grant me this literary license that I'd be able to say that. But he hasn't even responded. That's disheartening.
I'm sure he'll get around to it.
I should say, as a public service, because not everyone follows the Caps like we do, not everyone who listens to this show is in D.C., if you have not been to Barstool Sports or Googled Washington Caps or Ovi Stanley Cup in D.C., you have to look at some of the videos. These guys, for the last 72 hours in this town, have been swimming in fountains naked, just going drunk into bars.
At the Nats game on Saturday, it's amazing. He's just hammered.
Ovi is in like borderline eclipsing Rigo territory as the all-time hero of this town.
All you need to do is show up at a party with a few Supreme Court justices.
Listen up, Sandy.
That's what you have to do.
So, championship parade. Is it safe to take an 11-month-year-old to that?
Of course.
Yes.
Does he need the headphones?
Potentially, yes.
No, the parades
I think you got to go to that.
You got to go, but it's dreadful. I mean, it's a lot of standing around waiting for them to drive by you for 30 seconds.
All right. What else?
I mean, if it's anything like the Redskins parades back in the day.
To tennis, Mr. Tony, Simona Halep, Romanian, number one player in the world, gets her first Grand Slam victory, a three-set win over Sloane Stephens. After dropping the first set and being down in the second set, Halep went on to win 6-4.
How do you get
6-4.
To be number one in the world if you've never won one of the majors?
I guess you win every...
How do you do that?
Every tournament.
There should be a rule that if you've never won a major, you can't be number one in the world. You just can't.
Donald.
I'll take it up with the WTA.
It's ridiculous.
On the men's side.
Go ahead. I want to talk about
that. Make it 11 French Open championships.
Lee.
17 Grand Slams overall. He is the world's number one player, and he has won majors before.
And I know you care about tennis.
I do.
And I know that you're involved in the local City Open.
Yes, the City Open. In fact, I'm calling some wildcard matches, I believe, next week.
Try to get the names right.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I will. That was a problem last year.
The problem with tennis in the world, it's long... There's no American men's tennis. That's over.
No.
Maybe this kid Tiafoe's good. Maybe. But American tennis is over. But the problem with tennis right now is that the only people that are any good are like 35 and up. There's no young people that anybody cares about. Tennis is in the process of sticking its feet in the tar pits and never getting out. That's my comment.
Yeah, because they're on some run where it's like 34 or older have won like the
Federer
last...
and Nadal are still the best
still
players.
The best.
I was having this conversation with a couple friends like a week ago, and so I wound up looking up the best, highest-ranked men's U.S. player. Do you have any idea who it is and what his rank is?
I would guess it's Eisner, and I would guess it's 25.
It is Eisner, and it's 10.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's 10. I didn't realize he was 10.
He's never been in a semifinal in a major.
But then the next guy was literally someone I had never seen his name for. And he
was
like
Sock.
Jack Sock.
And he's like 16 or 18.
Oh, sure. And then Steve Johnson's probably right.
Yeah.
He just made that last name up.
Right. So a rule change for tennis, maybe? Maybe let them use their feet or something?
Yeah, it's too many super teams.
Increase interest.
What about a giant, oversized racket?
Yes.
Now that's something.
That's
you know, like a big check.
Or raise the net.
Dustin Johnson's name, I believe. Michael, you mentioned him just a moment ago. He's your winner at St. Jude. And
mentioned Luke Donald.
Luke
Donald got to be number one without winning a major.
Yes.
Dustin Johnson has won a major.
Yes.
Yes. And he still is number one player after winning at St. Jude. 19 under victory, 6 strokes over Andrew Putnam. Also, I know a player that you
Denny
wanted to
McCarthy.
Talk.
Denny McCarthy finished -5, won $77,500. Plays out of Argyle. Is taught by Bob Dolan. Bob Dolan. We care very much about him.
Dolan.
What else?
The Nationals unable to take the series against the Giants. They split the 4 games.
Let me just.
At least they had Scherzer pitching.
I attended this game. And my wife turns to me.
By the way, how wrong can the weather people be?
Totally.
They stink.
We were planning not to go
they
at all.
They stink. On Saturday was going to rain at 11 and rain all day. On Sunday was going to start at 1 and rain all day.
It
doesn't.
Like 10 drops of rain.
And these people are wrong. They're wrong. Cameras hammered from the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Do you know there are camera ads now at Nationals Park?
Yes, around
it says
around
Doug's
the
guy.
Doug is for you.
Yeah, it's like he's running
Doug
for something.
Doug is for you if you want the forecast to be wrong.
My wife
I like him, but they were so wrong this weekend.
It's like political pundits.
But this is not even what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the failure of two starting pitchers in a row to help this team out. To go to the bullpen where the bullpen, Strasburg, he just left. Strasburg,
yeah, he's on the DL.
Just a little
something
in
the shoulder.
Tightness
he's
in the shoulder.
On the DL, right?
Yep.
He's on the DL. The next day, Gio Gonzalez threw 400 pitches in three innings.
Gifted five runs.
My God.
As early as possible.
5-0, and you can't hold it.
Three and a third, I believe.
And you can't hold it. 97 pitches in three and a third. So once again, the Nats have to go to the bullpen. So they get a break. They get a break because of Scherzer, because Scherzer's the best. He's the best athlete in the world at the moment. And Scherzer walks and then gives up a home run. His team gets nothing for him. No runs whatsoever. They get nothing. And Scherzer loses a game that any other starter on the Nats would be proud to have done.
He gave up four hits.
Yeah. Nine strikeouts, seven innings.
My wife turned to me in like the eighth inning. The kids are at that point just wild. And she's like, this is so boring.
Were you in the Saliza seats?
No. They were occupied. I was, again, not invited by Sylvia Huff and Kevin Garfinkel. I don't know what it is. Apparently they have other friends. We were section 128 row CC. But the Nationals, I believe, and Michael can check me on this, they got three hits in the game, and I think they were all singles.
Yes.
They never got a runner past second base. I mean, it was lifeless. The best part of the game.
And got Turner picked off.
The best part.
And you got Michael A. Taylor sliding past the base.
It doesn't help when Turner, Harper, and Rendon go 0-11.
The best part of the game was the top of the ninth inning. Hunter Strickland came in.
Oh yeah.
And Bryce was the first person up.
And Michael said,
"I lustily booed
him."
And he grounded out to second base.
Yeah.
Was that game over in 90 minutes?
Sadly, no. That was like 4 hours.
2:51 was the official time.
It felt much longer.
It was, yes.
By the way, I misspoke. It was a three-game series, and the Giants took two out of three.
Yes,
my apologies for that. And not great news for Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Angels. He's been placed on the DL with
a sprained UCLA.
They say it's a grade 2 sprain.
This could be
They're going to sit him for 3 weeks, see how it looks, but there is at least a very good likelihood this could be.
Did you say sprained UCLA?
UCL.
UCLL.
Yeah.
UCL.
Is that like
UCF? Fake University of Southern Central Florida. It's a sprained UCF. What else you got?
Yes. The Tony Awards last night. The band's visit is.
I don't really like Josh Groban very much,
mm-hmm.
but they're I thought great. Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles were mm-hmm. wonderful. I thought they were wonderful. I thought it was a really good show.
Love the Tonys.
Their parody of Chandelier was fantastic.
You know, I mean, this is what I watch.
What'd you think of De Niro?
I missed that.
Oh.
I was out for
that's
that.
That's going to be the big talker.
I understand.
Big fan of the president.
I understand. But I thought that Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen, who are my age, you know, I thought they looked it. I thought they looked it a little bit. I like when they do the big production numbers.
Did you like when the kids sang Seasons of Love?
I loved it beyond words.
That was awesome.
Loved it beyond words. Yeah, it was nice brilliant on the part of the organizers of that to bring the Parkland kids up and to award the drama teacher. And then they sang from that's from Rent. Isn't
yes.
it?
How about that young high school girl who had the solo at the end?
Tremendous.
Imagine that moment. You were in your high school performing arts club and you sing at the Tonys.
Just tremendous. It's a wonderful show. And one of the things that always makes the show wonderful is the speeches that people make, which I won't go into in detail, but always delight me.
Yes.
Delight me.
Speaking of great shows, how about the one going on in Singapore? Everything going swimmingly.
Can we do that in Old Guy?
Yeah, sure.
That's fantastic because I have a more important story even than the summit in Singapore. Mr. Tony, we want to take you down to Okeechobee,
Florida.
Okeechobee.
Yeah. Okeechobee. Outside of Home Depot, Marilyn Howard was on a break from the Home Depot.
Right.
And she looked around and friend said, "Hey, there's a monkey over there." She thought she was kidding, but she wasn't. There was a monkey with a diaper
never
and a
leash. Never joke about a monkey.
You never joke about a monkey.
With a diaper and a
so
leash.
She went over to the monkey. The monkey just sort of grabbed her hand, and she said, well, we're going to help you find your master, or your owner, as the word were. And unfortunately, when she took the monkey into Home Depot, these sliding doors scared the monkey, whose name we later found out to be Spanky the monkey.
Is that his Christian name?
I believe it is his Christian name. Spanky jumped up on top of Marilyn's face and scratched her a few times, and then calmly got down and wandered into aisles 5 and 6, where he was
looking for a chainsaw.
You guys have any fertilizer?
Looking for a chainsaw, that monkey.
Authorities were able to apprehend Spanky.
How's the woman's face?
Woman looks a little distraught with just a few scratches. Okay. But again, if you're going to befriend a monkey, this is possible.
Why would
they put him down?
This?
They put Spanky down?
No.
Would you
turns out
gone to a farm out in the country, Gary.
Tina's owner. Spanky's owner, Tina Ballard, had left Spanky in the truck while she had gone into another store, and somehow, he's a clever monkey,
figured out
how to get out. I'm just surprised he didn't drive away. But
he also had a pack of smokes that he had recently purchased.
Yes. So authorities are looking into the situation.
Good job, buddy.
Diaper.
Thank you. Old Guy Radio, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. It's a particular reason why we're playing this. This is Painted Black by the Rolling Stones.
Awesome.
Yes, because on this date in 1966, this song hit number one.
52 years ago.
Yes.
It's a great song.
It's a fantastic
song.
Rolling
Stones are a great band. They're overshadowed and justifiably by the greatest band of all time, the Beatles. But the Rolling Stones are the second greatest band of all time. It's very simple. What is it?
I was just going to say, what's with this version? It sounds a little thin, a little tinny.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. It's from iTunes, so I'm not sure.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay, yeah. I just want to make sure it wasn't like some deep
we'll
cut that I'd never
that
heard.
Down. But yes, it was a third number one hit.
Wow, way to step on.
Well, reset the board.
It doesn't matter
the
how many break. Number one hits they've had. They're the second greatest band of all time.
Yes.
All right, let me. There's two stories I want to get to. I want to get to the summit, and I'll do that second. I want to, over the course of the weekend, I played a bunch of golf. I played very badly, as I always do, and then played a little bit better yesterday. But I am, when I'm spoken to, it is always with the knowledge that I talk about sports for a living. And because I was in Washington, D.C., naturally, the conversation turned to the Capitals. And I've said this to a bunch of people, and now I'm saying it out loud. I know nothing about hockey. That's not new. And I did think they were going to win this year, and in previous years I didn't think they were going to win because I had the phrase choking dogs, and I had it for a reason. This year I thought they were going to win, not because I thought they were different. I just thought they were going to win. And the way they went through it was amazing because they one by one, they knocked off all the people that had tortured them over some long period of time. They won the first series when it looked like they were gagging beyond words. They lost both games at home to Columbus.
Go down
and went,
0-2.
Oh, my God. And then they won 4 in a row. And then they beat Pittsburgh. And that's, of course, the biggest win because Pittsburgh has been their nemesis. And ultimately, and then they had to come back in a Game 7 on the road in Tampa to win. They had to win 2 in a row to win that series. And then they dominated. They did. They dominated Vegas. And they were able to beat Marc-Andre Fleury, who had beaten them while he was at Pittsburgh a number of times. So all of those things happened. And we all know those things. I will say this now, having said this a bunch over the weekend. The most stunning thing to me, the most stunning, was the amount of people who went downtown and stood outside for hours and hours and hours to watch this thing on screens. I mean, I just couldn't believe that for a hockey team. This is not hockey country. It's not. It's not cold enough to be hockey country. There's no institutional history of hockey here beyond the Washington Capitals. To see that, and you see that in basketball in Toronto.
Yeah.
You see that. But you don't, in American cities, you don't see it that much. My great colleague and friend Michael Wilbon, who says this is a minor league town, boy, oh boy, it didn't seem like a minor league town. And everybody who I know, their children wanted to be down there. Now, what causes this? A bunch of things. One, and you can never underestimate this, or overestimate this, actually. The weather was beautiful. It's June. You can't do this for the Super Bowl. It's freezing. You know, it doesn't work that way. So it's a beautiful night, and the Capitals did a great thing by opening up the arena and getting the city to put these big screens up in a variety of places. I was amazed at the sort of coalescing around the Capitals of all of these people. There's a bandwagon effect, and I use the word advisedly. There's a bandwagon effect because it's drawn out over a series of weeks, and it's 4 out of 7. It's not one game, and you know that this is coming, and it becomes a topic of conversation, and you feel you have to affiliate with it, and all of that is true. But you were not here because you were in Vegas. No. Chris, I never saw, there's no sport in this city. I've been here since 1979. I never saw this.
No.
And I never would have believed it would be for hockey.
What's interesting is that it transcended. People just wanted to be there.
Be there. It's like the happening.
Everyone who was under like 27 or 28 in our at CNN was there for at one of those because it was a cultural, at least Washington cultural happening. People wanted to be around it. Luke is a good example. Like, I'm just going to go down there. Yeah, authentic the common man, Luke Russert.
Very common.
Lumberjack.
Just a normal guy with a normal
upbringing.
Still
looking for game 6 tickets.
Yeah.
For free.
He can't find them. Please give them to him. It's so interesting that became, like, of all the sports, that would not be the one that I would think would suddenly become a cultural happening in Washington.
I think it's the perfect sport for that.
Let me go to the cultural wars for a second.
It's the most inviting.
Okay, first of all, hockey, the percentage of women hockey fans and women ticket holders in hockey is higher than the other three major sports. Women like hockey. For whatever reason, women like hockey.
Hockey is the best. I mean, it's best in arena. Favorite, but it's the best live in the arena.
Without question. Yeah.
I mean, if you looked at, and often when people write stories for newspapers, reporters write stories for newspapers, and they can pick and choose who they talk to, they often have a particular agenda of who they want to talk to for whatever their reasons. When you are doing massive crowd shots, and you get reminded that this really is an international city. The amount, not just of white faces, but black and brown and yellow faces in the crowds downtown, not in the gym where you have to buy the ticket, but around the area. And you went, wow, I didn't associate that with hockey. That was a thing, I think, to feel very good about. Do you know what I mean?
It was great.
Need to get out of this pocket of Northwest D.C.
Yeah, I never did.
If you actually take a look at the demographics, you have a lot of kids in their 20s who are moving into D.C. for jobs, and maybe they're only here for 2, 3, 5 years. It's harder to change allegiance with a football team. Mm-hmm. Basketball, you more support individual players and the league at large. Baseball, you might change, but this is a sport where you can rally behind the city, and you have a lot of kids who have mobilized in the last couple years, but they've mobilized around heartache, around trauma, around very political and deep-rooted issues. They are happy to get out on an early June evening and just support their city and be around that frivolity. And you also have a generation of kids who grew up watching European watch parties for the World Cup.
Yeah, right.
For Premier League soccer.
Oh, and they hour, want by the way, that. World Cup preview.
They've tried to do that.
That.
They've
Stay
tried
tuned,
to do
folks.
That in DuPont Circle for years for soccer watch parties. And that's, you see the trickle-down effect. That's how it ends up in Toronto. That's how it happens here.
And I will great. Also say this, and this was I wouldn't give this fact credit, but it was certainly a contributing factor. The way the Caps' path was quite extraordinary. They were down, I think, one of only like two or three teams to ever win the Stanley Cup after being down in all four playoff series. They were down 0-2 to Columbus, then 0-1 to Pittsburgh, then 2-3 to Tampa, and 0-1 to Vegas. And without ever sweeping a team, they won four in a row three times. So they went down 0-2 to Columbus, then won four in a row. Then they won their last two against the Pens and first two against Tampa, and then they effectively swept Vegas. So I think the confluence of those things created this wave. You know, I mean, they're down 0-2. Oh, my God, it's over. And then they win game 3, game 4, game 5, game 6, and everyone's peaking. Then they go down. So all of those things sort of came together Obviously, the biggest factor, to Michael's point, is sort of just the starvation. I mean, the ability to just rally
lovely,
around this.
Lovely. I was so stunned by it.
It was
stunning
so cool.
To me.
Two things. I think one, the biggest name is totally rootable for. Ovechkin is totally, it's so easy to root for him. And I think that helps, right? I mean, he's a huge star and he seems
and
like.
And he's
a,
waited.
Right.
He's yeah. failed. Right. And yeah. He's failed and he's waited.
Right. There's a dramatic arc to his story. Second, can I just because we're on the Caps, and he's obviously a huge friend of the show. But Barry's work during this
wonderful
has been amazing, and I would recommend people. He and I will not attempt her last name, but it is the Post's
Isabel
beat writer Isabel have a piece today, a long piece online. It's called "The Capital Season: From Bitter Disappointment to a Stanley Cup." I would recommend people read it. It's Barry is just. Very gifted, okay. A gifted talker, gifted writer.
So as long as you're talking, let me shift gears dramatically to this summit, which is on again, had been off
you
again,
bet.
And is on again, in which the leader of this nation, in which we sit, said, I just need a minute. I'll figure it out in a minute. I'll
touch
get it.
And feel.
Yeah, I know how.
I'll know immediately.
What are we looking for?
Well, okay, well, let's not
And why
forget-
are we attacking the Canadian Prime Minister?
A little too good looking. I was going to say, so let's not forget the context here. So Trump flies to Quebec on Friday morning.
Right.
When he gets on, before he gets on the plane, he talks to reporters and basically says, we should have Russia back in the G7 to make it the G8. Now, reminder, Russia was kicked out of the G8 at the time because they invaded a sovereign nation and annexed a portion of it in 2014. Okay.
Yeah, small things,
so,
little things.
So he says, like, you know, Russia did something, but I don't know, we should have them in.
Right.
So
they didn't burn down the White House in 1815.
Like bloody exactly. Canadians.
Like
yeah.
the Canadians did.
So then he goes and gives a press conference. He's basically in Quebec at the G7 very briefly for like a day.
Yeah.
He gives a press conference on the way out where he says, my relationship with Angela and Justin and Emmanuel is a 10 out of 10. I think we're going to have a very good thing. Then apparently he sees Trudeau give a press conference in which Trudeau doesn't run him down, but says, like, you know, we need to stand up for Canada. And he tweets from Air Force One on the way to Singapore, like, Trudeau is very weak and dishonest. We won't be signing anything. Okay, so that's the context by which he now lands in Singapore for this summit. So it's actually happening tonight, 9 o'clock our time, 9 a.m. tomorrow their time. All we know about it thus far is that the summit will open with Trump and Kim Jong-un one-on-one with translators, just them, no staff, and then it will go broader to their staff and... The discussions are moving more quickly than expected. He was supposed to leave Wednesday morning. He will be leaving Tuesday.
Leaving from Singapore.
Our time.
Because he has a tea time somewhere.
He will be leaving tomorrow night, it now turns out. The best discussions.
What is our greatest hope, I assume, is to take away nuclear weapons.
Yeah, to get them to disarm.
Right.
And in exchange. With
verifiably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
not just like, everything's cool here.
We're good.
Yeah. Nothing to see here, folks.
Right.
They want the North Koreans want
escalates
weirdly. They want us to formally declare an end to the Korean War, which has not been formally declared an end to, and that would
he's
theoretically
pardoning people that have been dead for 50 years. So it's just,
precipitate removal of American troops from the Korean
Peninsula.
Also,
he wants us out,
but we're not going to.
We're not doing that.
I think it is unlikely we will do that. And I think it is also unlikely that Kim Jong-un, who views their nuclear capabilities as the way in which he got this meeting in the first place.
Right.
I think it is unlikely that will happen.
Don't they also want an NBA expansion team?
Well, Dennis Rodman is there.
Yeah.
Now, he is not there, as some people say. He's not there as part of the official delegation.
He'd be the sanest one in the room.
He is just there. But he is in Singapore. So if you're there... Say hi to Dennis. I'm sure he will make himself known.
The fantastic part to me, and the thing that must make your life hard,
slash terrific.
Whatever is said at whatever time it is said in 3 hours is completely different.
Oh, sure.
Well, the summit itself.
Day after day after day.
The summit was canceled 10 days ago.
It was just different.
And now it's back on.
Yeah. It's just different.
Yeah. He is a tabula rasa every day. He wakes up and whatever he has said or done the day before
the most recent
is immaterial. Yeah. Immaterial.
It's fantastic.
It's remarkable.
All right.
By the way, yes. before we go to break, I just want to make
I still haven't talked about the Americans. I'll do that during the week. And I haven't talked about my unbelievable water bills in Washington, D.C. that I'm going to need to get Bill Isaacson's.
Sounds like you're going to leave.
This is wow. No. Not in the little house. No. Uh-uh. No. These water bills are a joke.
You're going to launch some legal action here.
I am indeed.
I just want to point out the Spanky, the monkey from Okeechobee.
Oh, is there an update?
No, well, no. Just I wanted to say where I got that story. Yeah. He committed suicide whilst in prison. Yeah. That's what officials are saying. No, that story comes to us from a great news watcher who likes to send me stories from time to time. And that, of course, is Meet the Press host Chuck Todd. So I'm going to make sure I give him full credit for
Sleepy
that, Chuck.
Chuck Todd?
Thank you, yes.
The Bye. One same.
Yeah, so we will...
Thank you.
We will
Thank
have you, a jingle and email when yes. we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Right before our very eyes, you said LeBron and Cavs weren't making it, and all along DK was taking. Sitting on the throne of lies. Oh, day to day on PTI. Gets chest in making bold, outrageous claims. Then suddenly you seem to change your ways.
Sean Morrissey and Frederick, a brilliant song. Love that song. Let me thank Wilbon himself for coming on with us today. Let me thank our sponsors, Sonos. Michael did such a great read. And Framebridge. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I did not emphasize enough today that last night Michael, Liz, and baby boy Bootsy came over, and the Bootsy 1, Bootsie, numeral 1, that code is applicable.
Still active.
For Father's Day.
Go get it.
I saw somebody from Alabama outside was wearing a
Johnny O?
A Johnny O shirt, so
nice.
You can go get Johnny O gear. I would like to get some myself. I'm waiting for the catalog. Michael wants me to just scroll through a screen. I don't want to do that.
You're not a screen scroller.
Yeah, that's
do from that. Mark Corriere in Ellicott City. Wednesday afternoon, I was driving with my family while listening to your old station, WTEM. Steve Zabin, broadcasting live from Las Vegas for the Stanley Cup Finals. He was describing all the local Washington, D.C. celebrities that were on his flight to Vegas. One of the people he mentioned was Alan Bubis. The woman to whom I related by marriage says, Alan Bubis, who is that guy? On cue, my 11-year-old masculine child replied, Alan Bubis?
He's a socialite.
Everyone knows that. Proud moment for me. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. Now that the Caps have finally won, I guess the only certainties left in life are death, taxes, and Strasburg going on the DL.
Which he has.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Charlie Burt, Springfield, Virginia. Am I the only one who sees the great sadness in the fact that we can no longer make fun of Trotsky? No, we can. Yeah. We just have to find a different...
Still a free agent.
Brian?
From Brian Groose. So Does this mean we can be done talking about hockey? Yes.
Yep.
Yes, after tomorrow... or the next day
parade
when we
coverage.
Review the parade, yes, then we're done. Joseph Forsnock, can Brian Trotz now say, do you know who I am? He's from Tampa.
Should say.
Jimmy Keegan, just saw a Caps fan on NBCSN call out Wilbon for calling DC a bad sports fan.
Yes, we saw that.
Had to be a little. Yes, you showed the video of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Michael, yes.
Matt from Ottawa in Ontario. Back when you told anyone who listened that the Capitals were going to win the Cup after beating Pittsburgh, I was telling Littles that you would just curse the team for another year by calling them the champs after two rounds of the playoffs, and I believe you had that and that I was wrong. Tell Michael to enjoy seeing the Stanley Cup, and now the city of Washington can be considered a sports town in Wilbon's eyes. I will hang up and listen now. Do you think he thinks it's a... Well, he doesn't really think it's a sports town. He doesn't really think, even though we had all those people out in the middle of the streets... Kevin, from UMBC, the best part of the Caps win was the first cutaway from the lifting of the cup to the crowd outside of Capital One where you could hear a fan scream, some minor league sports town, Wilbon. Looks like Matt is trying to eat it a bit this morning. Mike is trying to eat a bit this morning. So I'm watching something on TV the other day, and somebody asked, well, you know, they said that people were celebrating outside the portrait gallery. And somebody asked on TV, with all of the monuments in Washington, D.C., why would they be there?
Oh, my God.
Because it's across the street from the arena, yeah. And they've been there for weeks.
Location, location, location. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Come on. Dr. Hoff-Woff, shortly after I was born, the Islanders won the Stanley Cup. My priest also happened to be the priest for the Islanders. Some of the guys on the team brought the cup to my church when they had it, and legend has it, my dad placed me in the cup. Attaches a photo of my priest holding me at 3 months just before I made my Lord Stanley debut. Every year around this time, when I see grown men kissing the cup, I think, ha, I spit up in the cup. Spitting up is easy compared to other things that are done in this cup.
Yeah. Yes.
And will be done in foreign countries.
Yes.
Will be done. John Agliata in Wentzville, Missouri. I met the woman to whom I'm related by marriage for drinks Friday after a particularly long work of week. It snuck up on me. She ordered a Diet Coke in Malibu. I immediately said, you ordered a Saliza. Mm-hmm. She looked at me quizzically and then knowingly said, you're talking about that podcast, that old bald orange guy again, aren't you? I looked at her sheepishly and said, yes, yes, I am. Drink it, Saliza. From Michael Hennin in Nashville, Tennessee. How come when I use the promo code Saliza for anything, it adds $100? From Albert in Toronto, if Monday's show isn't interrupted by Ovechkin walking into chatter with the cup, I would be thoroughly disappointed.
That would have been awesome.
This is so far off the grid for those guys.
Still time.
Steve Reuter, San Diego. My 18-year-old son and I are driving from San Diego to Las Vegas to attend Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. When I mention him, the TJ Oshie has been on fire lately. He immediately responds with, makes sense. He did take the Metro to the games in D.C. Littles raising littles, a beautiful thing. That's wonderful. There is no fire, to my knowledge, on the Metro at this moment.
At this moment,
if you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Honestly, what the f*** are we doing here?
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, and love and war, but all I do is love you more. Our love is crazy, unhealthy, but I can't keep from you, baby. So you said, why even bother? Said this love set me on fire. How I wish you'd be the victim so you'd see just how I'm feeling. No, 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 that I have conditions. I make the rules, I make the decisions. Can't forget. No, 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 that I have conditions. I make the rules, I make the decisions. I want nothing less than what I deserve.